You know, I really appreciate that song, Chris. I didn't have a chance to get with the team this week in preparation for the Sunday this morning, so I didn't know they were going to do this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But I find it ironic how God just continues to always make things gel them together, because I want to shine the light this morning on Green Forest United Methodist Church. A couple of days ago, I was contacted to help two young men who were stranded here at our local public library. And they were in need of a ride to a neighboring town, so I asked for one of our local church members to accompany me on this journey. And while we were en route to our destination, these two young men began sharing with me, or with us, how the ladies of the library, as well as an owner of a local grocery store, what they were saying about Green Forest United Methodist Church, that we were the church to contact if someone was in need. These two young men went on to say that it seemed to them that our church was well known in the community for going above and above and beyond of being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And they shared how everyone they encountered said that our church, Green Forest United Methodist Church, was a church that could be counted on. Now I want you to know their comments have brought joy to my heart, because I've often wondered what folks thought about our church, especially the local folks. Now, for those of you who have become a part of our church family but don't live locally, I want you to know that, as far as I know, we are the only church in town that has continued to postpone in-person worship as a safety precaution due to the pandemic. So to be honest, I was afraid that was our identity, the closed church. So to hear the testimony that our identity is not wrapped up in our postponement, but rather in our service to the community, well, it made me grateful. But it also caused me to reflect upon the power of testimonies. And let me explain. You see, when these two young men began hearing the testimonies about Green Forest United Methodist Church, their feelings of desperation and hopelessness were transformed to assurance and hopefulness. Testimonials, whether they are about places or people or faith or businesses, are tools that give relevance and clarity. I mean, think about it. How many of you who are watching today look at reviews prior to spending money at a place? I mean, reviews are nothing more than testimonies. And when people hear about what God is doing through a person or a group of people, it creates a bond of trust. It creates an eternal hope. Friends, I want to let you know that I believe testimonies are probably one of the forgotten tools of the Christian community. I mean, I believe if we were to really fully embrace, re-embrace this powerful tool, we could see the church, and when I say church now, I'm not talking about Green Forest, I'm talking about church with a capital C, being the agency of reconciliation unto God, of reconditioning people's hearts and restructuring the polarization within our nation. Now listen, I pray, friends, I pray that the vaccines that are out and the ones that are coming out are going to bring about a renewed sense of normalcy soon for our world and for our local communities. And I hope it helps us open our doors soon. But while I place a cautious hope in those things, I can tell you this morning in certainty that if we want to see revival in our world, it will be done through those of us who are brave enough and bold enough to share our personal testimonies. And if you doubt my argument this morning, then I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Nathan, I'm going to ask that you place them on the screen for our viewers this morning. And I want to ask all who are listening to my voice to join with me as we begin in verse 1, where it says, Peter and John were going up to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the established prayer time. Meanwhile, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day, people would place him at the temple gate, known as the Beautiful Gate, so he could ask for money from those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he began to ask them for a gift. But Peter and John stared at him. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gazed up at them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I don't have any money, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." Then he grasped the man's right hand and raised him up. At once, his feet and ankles became strong. Jumping up, he began to walk around. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they recognized him as the same one who used to sit at the temple's beautiful gate asking for money. And they were filled with amazement and surprise at what had happened to him. It's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God." And everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me for a short prayer? Oh God, we come today and your word, God, is so powerful. It gives us so much to minister to our souls. It gives us great instruction on how to live lives that bring about change for your kingdom. So, Lord, I ask that you speak to me today and through your word to help each of us discern what it is that we can do with our simple voice in living radical discipleship. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I hope you notice, friends, how the testimony of this man was able to change the culture within the temple. Did you hear and see in the reading how the power of a testimony transitioned the spiritual wellness of all who heard? I think it's relevant to point out this morning that this individual account, which depicts the power of a testimony, was done with more than the man's words. The hallelujah of his God encounter oozed from his aura. And while we stopped reading about this story in verse 10 of chapter 3, the story does not conclude until chapter 4, verse 4. And if you've got your Bibles open, I want to ask you to turn over to that next chapter and read the outcome from the power of testimony. I also think it's important for you and I to remember that when we share our testimony, meaning our experiences with God, there's a ripple effect throughout the universe. And what I mean by this is this: our testimony is not just known here on earth. It is also known in heaven and among the powers of evil. Well, I know that we all agree that God knows everything and God knows our encounters with Him. God takes our testimonies and makes them speak long after our physical departure from this earth. Every one of us who have been blessed to have godly family and friends in our lives, well, you know exactly what I mean. I can still hear clearly the testimony of my grandfather the day when he shared with me how Jesus delivered him from alcoholism and from womanizing. You see, that was not a side of him that I had ever seen. I'd heard about it from my aunts and uncles, his oldest children. But that wasn't the man that I knew. He could see in my young days that I was beginning to dedicate my life to those same very vices. One day on the back porch of my maternal grandparents' home, he shared with me why Jesus was so important to him. My grandfather, who I called Tata, my Tata has been gone for over 20 years, friends. But his words and influence still live within my heart. I'll never forget why he found Jesus so relevant, and why Jesus was continuing to be so important in his life. And as powerful as this was and is for me, I want to remind all of us who are watching today that our testimonies are just as powerful, so powerful that they'll even shake the gates of hell. Listen, friends, the evil one, he wants to drown out all of the godly encounters within our lives with that consistent doom and gloom that is ever before us on the TV, on Facebook, you name it. Newspapers, it's always constant, barraging or barging in on our minds and our hearts, telling us that there's nothing good in the world. Just evil, hardships, loss, sadness. And I want you to know, friends, that I believe this is the method with which the enemy begins to try to convince you and I that a holy God can't love a sinner like you and I. I mean, that is the enemy's motif, is it not? That's how he begins to create not only chaos from within, but anxiety and rage within our hearts and minds. But when you and I share our testimonies, we not only spring open the snares of Satan on the lives who are listening, but we are also releasing God's healing grace within our own hearts, minds, and souls. I mean, the more Christians come forward and talk about how God has intervened in their lives, the more people will begin to realize that God is real, that God does answer prayers, that God is for us, that God is still doing and working through miracles. And let me take it one step further. If you and I want our communities to change, then Christians need to share their God encounters. If we want our nation to move past the divisions and hatred, then the people of God must concentrate on speaking as freely about their God encounters as they are about what they dislike or disagree with. Friends, mine and your story can be the key to unlocking someone else's prison. I'll tell you this. The Bible says clearly that our testimonies will stand in the face of accusations in heaven. And for that I am eternally grateful. But I'll also say our testimonies will not serve their fullest potential for the glory and the kingdom of God if we keep them to ourselves. Let me share with you a final story, or a story that I hope drives home the point of our sermon time this morning. It's a story that was shared on Voice of the Martyrs radio, and it's about a person they call Sister Amber. The story goes that Amber shared that she was a missionary in Tibet for 16 years. But in 2013, she was arrested by the police. They put her in front of five officers and tried to force her to write a confession to crimes that she did not commit. She shared in the interview that she prayed and was close to giving in to their demands when God touched her and told her to write her testimony of coming to faith and all that God had done to and through her. At the end of her testimony, she wrote that the reason she was in Tibet was to spread the love of Jesus even to them, meaning the officers. Needless to say, they rejected the writing, ripped it up, and forced her to write again. But she persisted and kept writing out her testimony. The physical punishment came, and in the midst of this punishment, the Holy Spirit, she said, spoke to her and said, "They are persecuting me, not you. Will you lend me your body? Will you love them even though they persecute you?" And from that point on, her punishment didn't have the same pain level, she says, as before. And she was able to endure and love them even though they tortured her physically. And throughout the torture, she told them that she loved them and that Jesus loved them and that she forgave them for what they were doing to her. She was eventually released and departed out of the country. She went home and she was reunited with her mother. And her mother tells her that while Amber was in prison, she received a vision of her daughter at a table with five Asian policemen. The Lord put this picture on Amber's mother's heart, and she prayed over this picture, not knowing that it was the exact scene her daughter was going through at that time. They shared in the interview that God had spoken to Amber's mother about one of the policemen, and God said, "I've got a very special plan for this man." Now, Amber was a missionary not only, you see, to the Tibetan people, but she was a missionary to the policemen who were torturing her. If it were not for her sharing her testimony, those men would not have heard the gospel. That's a powerful testimony, isn't it? It's a powerful testimony. If you'd like to listen to this interview in full, then I encourage you to Google Voice of the Martyrs Radio and type in the title, Tibet, I'm with you always. In closing, friends, if you were able to share a testimony today with anyone, what would you say about God? If you had the chance right now to talk to someone that is on their deathbed, a loved one who is a non-believer, or a complete stranger, what would you tell them that Christ means to you? If you can and will, God will allow you to see the power of your testimony in heaven and here on earth. I challenge you this week, friends. Share your God encounters with those around you. Let people know why Jesus is so relevant in your life. You don't have to make up any dramatic stories. I'm fortunate that I guess that I have a road to Damascus conversion experience, but many have a road to Emmaus conversion experience. And if you don't know what that means, read Acts 9 for the road to Damascus conversion and read Luke 24 for the Emmaus conversion, road to Emmaus conversion experience. But either one are powerful when they're told because they're your stories with God. And those stories help people like me and the rest who are on this stage and those watching to know that Jesus is real, that God is still alive and answering prayers. He's still redeeming the unredeemable, forgiving the unforgivable, and loving the unlovable. He has a plan for you and I that is so great and powerful that words cannot express it accurately. But the joy that you feel in your heart lets you understand without a doubt that you're walking in the center of God's will. So I urge you today, friends, when you get ready to say something negative, when you get ready to complain about something, stop and use that opportunity to tell somebody about your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I offer this to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.